John Batchelor. I welcome Anatole Levin of the Quincy Institute for Responsible Statecraft. A long traveler in Russia and throughout the Middle East, I call upon his Russian experience now to help me solve a puzzle presented by significant major players, geopolitical players, these last hours. The satellites see a deployment of large Russian forces in and around Ukraine and Crimea. The spokesman for those forces is Vladimir Putin. And over these last days, Mr. Putin has made a statement including the metaphor red line. The quote, the emergence of such threats, pointing to Ukraine and the possible embrace by NATO, the emergence of such threats represents a red line for us. I hope that it will not get to that, and common sense and responsibility for their own countries and the global community will eventually prevail. That's Mr. Putin's remark. Mr. Blinken, in these last hours, has said that if Russia does this, there will be these consequences. We're not exactly toe-to-toe with nuclear missiles. However, we're dealing with major statements that reflect the confrontation of the Cold War. But here it is, 2021. So, Anatole, a very good evening to you. You have written again and again for more than a year. In our conversations, we pointed to it, that Ukraine is the primary first major problem to be solved in Europe. These present events, Mr. Putin, Mr. Blinken, are these solutions or are these what we're going to see again and again until it's solved? Good evening to you.
Hello, John. Well, I mean, let's just hope it remains at the level of rhetoric and threats, because there probably is also a greater chance of actual war than there has been since 2014 now. And the reason is that the Russians had accustomed themselves to the idea that actually whatever the West may say, Ukraine is not going to get into NATO. And they'd also accustomed themselves to the idea that, you know, Ukraine was so economically and politically shambolic that it was, you know, eventually going to seek better relations with Russia. It was never going to join the European Union. But recently, I mean, two things have started happening which have, to some extent, changed the Russian calculations. One is that the Ukrainians are becoming much more heavily armed and trained by the West. So without being in NATO, they are becoming, from a Russian point of view, a kind of de facto Western military satellite. The other thing is that the Russians are really alarmed about measures of Ukrainianization and the sidelining or even abolition of the Russian language in Ukraine, because they feel that that is destroying the long-term historical and cultural links between Ukraine and Russia. Now, whether that would lead Putin to invade Ukraine if he doesn't get a compromise, I'm not sure. You know, Putin is, contrary to his image in the West, is actually a very cautious and cold-blooded leader, and certainly not a reckless risk taker. But the language I was hearing, you know, when I was in Russia, and some of the public language as well, is certainly fairly, you know, menacing. And on the other side, I mean, Blinken talks about consequences, but he means political consequences, economic consequences. The Russians are also reckoning that, you know, that the West will not fight for Ukraine, as we didn't fight for Georgia in 2008, we didn't fight for Ukraine in 2014. So, of course, the gap between NATO rhetoric and actual NATO willingness to fight is also a major card in the Russians' hands, because in the very last resort, they are prepared to fight.
One of the ironies in Mr. Putin's remarks, implicit, is the Cuban Missile Crisis of 1962. Mr. Putin points to Ukraine and why he does not believe NATO belongs in Ukraine. He says that if NATO deployed missiles in Ukraine, it would be 5 minutes to reach Moscow. 5 minutes. That's the same argument that was made in 1962 by Mr. Kennedy about missiles in Cuba, by Mr. Khrushchev about missiles in Turkey. This at the same time that Mr. Putin speaks of a new hypersonic missile. It looks like escalation, Anatole, is it? It looks like, having not listened to you for a year, we're now into an escalatory ladder, and we know that doesn't end happily.
Yeah, I think it is. But I think that President Putin is escalating the threats and the pressure. Whether he has actually made up his mind to go to war, if present strategies succeed, that I don't think he has yet. And actually, American intelligence says that they don't believe he's made up his mind yet. But yes, I mean, it's certainly very dangerous. And I think the analogy, you know, with the Cuban Missile Crisis, or at least with American traditional policy in Central America, is a very good one. America, ever since 1820, whatever it is, has every American administration has been absolutely determined that no hostile military alliance or hostile great power should be able to establish itself in Central America. And the United States will react with extreme ruthlessness and severity to any move in that direction, as it always has. Well, Russia feels exactly the same way about its immediate neighborhood.
And from the Russian point of view, I'm told that the audience in Moscow and other parts of the country are being prepared for the possibility that Russia is under attack by NATO. Now, that's a television opinion. Is that an opinion in the Kremlin? You were there most recently. Is that understood to be what's happening? NATO's the aggressor.
Well, NATO is certainly seen as aggressive. I don't, the expansion to Russia's neighbors, the siding against Russia in a whole many areas and territorial disputes and so on. I don't think that serious Russian analysts believe that NATO is going to attack Russia, because they know NATO too well, and they know that there is no will in NATO for essentially a third world war with Russia. So this, I think, is exaggerated for public effect. But of course, that still makes it very dangerous, because of course it means that the Russian public is being prepared to see a war in Ukraine as a Russian defensive war and not as a Russian war of aggression. So even if the people who are putting out this line don't believe it, the fact that it's being put out is still significant and sinister.
Ukraine also has a voice here, and we're told that Mr. Zelensky believes there's a plot, a Russian-authored plot, to remove him from office or have a coup in Kiev. Now, I can't judge this from the outside, but Kiev is not silent. It gets a vote here. What is in Kiev's best interest as it's caught between these two nuclear powers?
Mm-hmm. I mean, as to a Russian-backed coup, I find that hard to believe, because I'm not sure who the Russians would find in Kiev to do that, or who would, how a government like that could possibly remain in power. I think there's a much bigger risk in Ukraine of a coup by the Ukrainian ultra-nationalists. But as far as what's in the interest of Ukraine, I think it's necessary to remind people that, you know, before the revolution of 2014, you could find Ukrainian nationalists who would say, look, actually, we'd be much better off without Crimea and without the Donbass, because without these areas and their huge Russian populations, Ukraine will be a much more cohesive Ukrainian national state with a much stronger possibility of developing Ukrainian national culture. So you had, actually very hardline Ukrainian nationalists saying, for God's sake, let these areas go. Now, it may be impossible to let these areas go formally, but Ukraine will not recover these areas. It can recover sovereignty over the Donbass, but the only possible solution for eastern Ukraine is a solution involving full autonomy. That is the only thing that a majority of the local population and Moscow will accept. The alternative to that is war, but a war which Ukraine would almost certainly lose, and lose disastrously. So I really do believe that it is strongly in the interests of the Ukrainians to seek a compromise over eastern Ukraine, which, by the way, if they did get it back, would be an absolutely poisoned gift for them, because it would incorporate a very large, dissatisfied Russian minority who would cause endless political trouble.
Anatole Levin of the Quincy Institute for Responsible Statecraft commenting on what we know, this fog of diplomacy about the Ukraine crisis. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.